About 15 years ago, there was a book that was published. It was called The Making of a Gadol. It was by Rav Kamenetsky, Yaakov Kamenetsky's son, I believe, Rav Shalom, right? But he put it together. The point of the book seemed to be somewhat simple. And the reason why it was called The Making of a Gadol is he went through stories, but not like you normally have. Like the Gedolim books that you normally see have all these accolades and great things about the tzaddik that was there that make it seem like it's almost unattainable. That these tzaddikim, which they are, and these gedolim, which they are on a different level. Just absolutely not there for us. We cannot ever reach their level. There's nothing we can do to get there. The difference was, in this book, you went through stories that happened to these gedolim when they were younger, when they weren't as experienced, when they didn't have, you know, the gadlus that they gained as time went on, and it shows that even they made mistakes. Even they did things that seemed a little bit interesting. Things that you might look at now and say, that person would never do such a thing. How could that person ever do such a thing? And this story went through it, things that could be considered questionable, and yet still they became great. And yet still they became the gedolim that they became. And the point of the book was to show you that no matter what you've been through, what you've done, etc., you have the ability to be great just like them. I think that was the main. I've never talked to Rav Kamenetsky himself about this, but this is the idea that I always garnered from my Rebbeim, that the point of the book was for that reason, and it was taken out. Now, it was immediately put into Cherem. The book was put into Cherem, taken off shelves in bookstores immediately. And the reason given was that such slander may be in the realm of Lashon Hara. That was the first thing that was brought down, Lashon Hara without toelos. That there'd be nothing good that you're gaining, or not enough good that you're getting, and the overall message might be misconstrued completely. What would the overall message be? Gedolim mess up. And if Gedolim could mess up when they were 18 or 20, then maybe they could mess up when they're 60 or 70 as well. So how do we know that everything the Gedolim are doing, that their Das Torah is real Das Torah, when you see they grew up just like anybody else? They had the same upbringing as anybody else. What makes them a little bit different? Now, when we have these concepts that are so important, not just to our religion, but about who we are, the concept of Mesorah, the concept of Das Torah, the idea of Torah Sheba'al Peh, then it's true. Im malachu, if he's a malach, then he can learn Torah from his mouth. And if he's not, then al yom Torah mipiyu. Don't be involved with such a person. I get that. And the concept is that these gedolim don't have those aspects to them. If they're not as great as, so to speak, as we think they are, then everybody will take it down a notch. And they'll say, well, then I don't really need, or maybe even more so, they're going to start thinking to themselves, hey, maybe I have the same ability to paskin, just like that big Rav. Maybe my hashkafa may be even stronger than those Rabbanim because I came from a stronger background. I had more people that were behind me. I had a cleaner, easier life. And therefore, because of that, maybe I am better when it comes to that. I definitely can hear it. Those issues are definitely there. But those were the three major reasons. A major one of Lashon Hara without Toelos. Then number two, that you'll come to question the abilities of these gedolim. Are they really Das Torah if they had these issues when they were younger? And number three, it might make people think that they themselves are gedolim, that they themselves are greater than they actually are. And the question is that the correct derech? Now, again, it was taken off the shelves. That was decided. Who was decided by? I don't know. You never know with these things. It could have been decided by Joe Schmo, and he got Rav Yashiv to sign on, and then all of a sudden it was gone. I don't know if any of the Gedolim really saw these Sfarim, these books, or if they ever read them. I highly doubt that it was ever read by a Gadol to be able to make the decision. But I do get it. I get the concept. Lashon Hara is already rampant in Klal Yisrael. Lashon Hara destroyed the Beis HaMikdash.
Lashon Hara is the reason why the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt yet. That's from the Chafetz Chaim. I think that's obvious enough that a book that is literally entirely Lashon Hara, and why the Gedolim books that we see don't seem to have these questionable stories in them, because that may be in the realm. Oh, everything in a Gedolim book is technically Lashon Hara. Even the good stuff that's inside there is technically Lashon Hara, because it could get you saying or talking about them in a bad way. They're technically all Lashon Hara. I get the concept that you don't want to have another book that perpetuates the problem of how bad Lashon Hara is. I totally get it. That I definitely understand. But what about stories that are not necessarily in the concept of Lashon Hara? Is there a toelus to learn from them? And I don't want to define halakhically which are and which aren't. That's not what I want to do. But is that the derech? So I remember when Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel passed away, there was a question, and the reason why I knew is because I was, at the time, I was speaking with Rabbi Chanoch Teller. His son was here, and I was speaking with him quite a bit, and he was coming out with a book at the same time that our school was coming out with a book about Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel's legacy and his life, etc. I remember asking him, what are you going to say about the academy? What are you going to say about Rav Nosson Tzvi's being brought up in America in a co-ed school, you know, where he went there? Now, granted, he went to the yeshiva as well. This is on the west side, so it was a little bit different. For learning, they went to the yeshiva, and when they went to classes, they were by the academy. There was a different style, because it's not exactly like it is today. But what are you going to write about? And I remember talking to Rabbi Teller about it and asking him, and he went to people about it to try to talk about it. He brings it up, but in very short form, without, it's glossed over. In art school, you see, if you read the biography of Nelson Tzvi Finkel, you see it's glossed over almost entirely. They don't want to bring it up, because it seems almost embarrassing to say that the Rosh Yeshiva of a great yeshiva could possibly have had such an upbringing to be around in such a place. It's glossed over. On the other hand, Rabbi Teller said, it's one of the greatest things that you could see, a person who grows up in a co-ed school, who went to a school together with all these situations, with these types of issues, right? Look at what he became. Look at how great he was. And the question is, can we gain from that or can we not? Such a, so to quote-unquote, spotty past. Is that something that you can gain from or not? Remember, I know somebody, Rabbi Scheinfeld knows as well, somebody who was in Rabbi Finkel's class. There were Nelson Tzvi Finkel's class, growing up here in Chicago. And he knows him, not by Rav Nosson Tzvi, but is that something that's hashkafically sound to go to that person and say, tell me what Rav Nosson Tzvi was like as a kid? What was he like in high school so that I can learn from it and I can become better? Or is that something that we gloss over? Everybody knows the story of the Netziv. And the reason why you know the story of the Netziv is because he told it to everyone. At the printing of Amek Dover, at some point when he spoke about Amek Dover, at some point, and the Netziv said that when he was a child, his parents wanted to pull him out of school. He overheard them talking, crying about him, and that himself, they said, what are we going to do with Naftali Tzvi? What are we going to do with Naftali Tzvi? That there was nothing. He wasn't paying attention. He wasn't involved in everything, and he overheard the conversation and realized it, walked in and said, Mommy, Daddy, I'm changing. Everything's going to be different. I'm going to be completely different. And he built himself up, and he said the famous line, if I wouldn't have heard that conversation, if I wouldn't have worked on myself, if I wouldn't have stayed in yeshiva, there'd be no Emek Dover. There's no Harkava's Dover. There's no Harkav Dover. There's no Emek She'ela. All of my Sfarim wouldn't be there. I'd go up to Shemaim, and they'd say, where's Emek Dover? Where's Emek She'ela? Where's the Sfarim that come out? I would have no idea what they're talking about. Granted, that's one thing, but that's because the Netziv himself said it. That makes it different. I think that might be a little bit different with Rav Nosson Tzvi as well, where he told people where he went to yeshiva. It seemed like he wasn't embarrassed by it, or he said it out loud, so that might make a little bit different. I think there's a lesson to be brought out from over here, and the line is kind of an obvious one. I'm going to use the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara in Bava Metzia is Amdaf Pei Hei Amid Aleph. It's a strange Gemara, a very, very strange Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, after he had been healed from his Yisurin that he had taken on because Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, so after he had been healed, he went around saying, can I find someone who's like, you know, a child, a descendant of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? So he went around and he said, is there a ben, is there a child born to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? They told him, yes, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi. They said, and every Zona who is hired for four coins, four golden coins, gives him eight coins. And he obviously was not doing the best that he could. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi put Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya in charge. I'm sorry, it's confusing. Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya. He put Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya in charge. And he picked up Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar. And he made him into a Rebbe. He gave him smicha, turned him into a Rebbe, a Rav. And then, officially, Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar is a Rav. When Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar wanted to go to town to go do what he was used to doing, Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya, the person who Rebbe put in charge, would go up to him and say, "You're a Rebbe now. You can't do that anymore. How could you go to the bars? How could you hang out in those places if you're a Rebbe? A Rebbe wouldn't do such a thing." Rabbi Yossi ben Elazar understood. He said, "Mumi azuvado. You're right. I'm going to leave this. I'm never going to do this ever again." And he stopped. He said, "Never. I'm out. I'm never going to do that again." Rabbi Yossi ben Elazar stopped. He mamash stopped. And he became Rabbi Yossi ben Rabbi Elazar. Later on, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was walking through the Beis Medrash. He heard a voice. He said, "That sounds like my friend, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Who is that?" They turned to him and said, "That's Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's son, Rabbi Yossi." Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, "Oh." He said a pasuk. He said, "This pasuk applies to Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya, who took him under his wing and brought him up and turned him into such a Talmud Chacham." So listen to that derech. You give a guy smicha in order to make him into a rav, that he forgets everything that he's going to do. There's a message, an inspirational message, that's there within ourselves, where we don't need the book, The Making of a Gadol, to hear the stories of the Gedolim and hear how, don't worry, they were also questionable in order to bring ourselves up. We shouldn't need that. The inspirational message is that we are awesome. That we can grow on our own. That we can be better without other people, without putting down anyone else. That we have it within ourselves. You can latch onto yourself to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. See who you are and look down inside you and say to yourself, who am I? What can I be? Not everyone is destined to be a Rosh Hashiva. I'll agree with that. Not everyone is going to be destined to be that way. Not everyone is destined to become a Posek. It's not going to happen to everybody here. But everyone 100% has the ability to be a Talmud Chacham. That is 100% there for anyone to grab. To be a Talmud Chacham, to be a Talmud of a Chacham, according to Rashi, the definition is a person who learns and studies and is mishamish other chachamim, 100% that person can become a gadol in his own right. And that means that everyone here has that ability. Everyone has it. You are a gadol. You're already building yourself up there. Your children certainly will think of you as one if you're the type of person who shows them what it means to learn Torah, who shows them what it means to go out to learn, even if you're working all day. It shouldn't be a stira. A Talmud Chacham does not have to be a Rav of a Shul or a Rebbe in a yeshiva. A Talmud Chacham is a person who sits and learns. So how to get there? Simple. I'm not going to add anything to you. You continue doing what you've been doing. You're learning. If you're going to Seder, you're here for 5 hours a day. 5 hours a day at least. You want to add on, maybe there's a night Seder that you're adding on, maybe there's an extra half hour of second Seder, maybe it is, maybe you can count davening and all this. But just do what you're doing. Do you know what 5 hours a day of learning does for you? It changes you. It makes you better. It makes you a wiser person. 100% if a person would tell me that they're going to learn 5 hours a day for the rest of their life, of course that person's going to be a gadol. Is the person going to be the Chazon Ish? No, you're not going to be the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish spent many, many more hours than that per day to make himself into the Chazon Ish. Are you going to be the Stipler? Are you going to be Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel? Odds are, no, they spent more than 5 hours a day. But 5 hours a day will make you into a Gadol B'Yisrael. 5 hours a day will make you into a massive Talmud Chacham. If you utilize your time properly, if you do what you're supposed to do, you will speak at Shalosh Shuddos. Your Rav will ask you to take over for them when they're out of town. Because you're the type of person who not only knows how to learn, but you're a person who shows that this is what learning is. And maybe you don't want that. Maybe you don't want the spotlight. You don't want to be the Shalosh Shuddos guy or the Halacha guy in between Mincha Maariv. Maybe that's not the person you want to be. But you'll be there for yourself. You'll be there for your kids. You are that person that your children will look at and say, my daddy learns for X amount of hours a day. And when they go to school, you'll see it. You're going to see it. You're going to see the people who write about their parents. Their parents are working. And they say about their parents, what is your parent? What does your father do? My father learns Torah. That's what it is. Does he go to work for 9 hours a day? Of course he goes to work for 9 hours a day. But his ikkar, what he is someone who learns Torah. That starts with what you've already been doing. You just have to let it grow on you. You just have to keep doing it. And when there's a time, when you have a little bit of vacation, to take an hour out of your day on a vacation day, when nothing else is going on, to take an hour out of your day to make sure you learn during that day, that is amazing. It's such a milo. On a Shabbos, to find a half hour in the middle of the day, it's difficult, I know. Because you sleep a little bit longer, Shachar is a little bit longer, the meals are a little bit longer, Shabbos is over at 4:20, 5:20, whatever it is, right, 5 o'clock. It's really hard to find that hour. Where are you going to find an hour in the day to learn? On Shabbos, on Friday night, there's onegs to go to, there's Shalom Zachars, sometimes you want to sleep a little bit extra, it's hard. But if you put that hour in, I guarantee you, you will be a Talmud Chacham. There's no question, it shouldn't be in anyone's mind. I think everybody understands that. You're pushing yourself, pushing it more. I think that what I'm saying is not a stira to what we were saying before. Can you learn from those types of books? Can you take down Gedolim in order to raise yourself up? Of course you can. But is that the method? Is that what you want to do? Is that who you want to be? Or is it going to be something different? Do you want to build yourself up with what you have, with what you have inside you, within you? I personally think everyone here knows about themselves. You have it within you. You're right there. You're all Gedolim. You all understand what it means not to play silly games. You all understand what it means to sit there and say, like, when I tell you that a fantasy football league is not the best idea, you understand what I mean. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to do it, but you understand what I mean. You understand. Because you can't picture Reb Moshe Feinstein, Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, and the Chazanit, and the Stipler sitting together and saying, I'll trade you Tom Brady for another quarterback. Of course, you're not going to see that. It's not going to stop you. But the concept is there. You know it. So just let it come out a little bit more. Why should I care about this? Why does this matter? How in the world could it be? Again, this is not putting the blame. I'm not saying anything. How in the world could I have said to myself, I should miss second Seder for a football game? How could that have happened? How could that be? I'm a gadol. I'm a gadol b'Yisrael. How could I make that decision? What a silly decision. Why would I do that? If that's who you are, you know what you're not. And the decision can't be made that way. We're witnessing the concept of making somebody into a gadol in front of our in our base medrash. We're watching this happen. You're watching it in yourselves. You just can look at yourselves in a little mirror. I don't care if you believe it or not. I believe it's true. And I'm telling you it's true. And I think deep down everyone here knows it's true about everyone in the base medrash. That if you're sitting in a base medrash nowadays, when you could go so many other places, you could do so many other things, if you're sitting here and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're doing what nobody else was, there's no question, you're a Gadol B'Yisrael. You are a Talmid Chacham. Build yourself up. Can you argue with another Gadol B'Yisrael? No. That makes you a Rasha. But you can build yourself up, further yourself, bring yourself further until these questions are no longer questions. The problems are no longer problems. You have a problem. Why should I or shouldn't I bring a phone into a base medrash? It's ridiculous. You know the answer to the question. You don't have the question of what. Kasnish, that's not what you ask. You know who you are. You know what it is. Work on yourselves. I'm not giving everyone here smicha. Because A, I'm not a musmach. B, I don't think everybody here deserves it yet. But I am telling you, you have it within you. Let me be Reb Yossi ben Lacunia, and just tell you, is that what you think you want to do? I don't think it is. I think you're better than that. I think you're better at that than that for Shacharis. I think you're better than that for Mincha Maariv. I think you're better than that for Second Seder. It's on you. You get to make the decision. It's not on me. I don't decide. But I think you're good enough to know what you can do more, what you've been doing great up until now, and what you can make yourself into if you really try.